D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
When men pretend to be women and vice versa, what price do we pay as a society for continuing to suppress the truth in unrighteousness? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. It is a great understatement to say that we live in an age of confusion. Yet when it comes to gender and sexuality, that confusion is being enshrined into orthodoxy, with all who dissent from it being punished as bigots. But as you will see on today's program, that agenda, with no basis in science or in fact, is doing an enormous amount of harm. And later in the program, we will give you an opportunity to take a stand with us on this vital issue. We begin with a courageous woman who grew up with a transgender father. Today, Denise Schick is the director of Help for Families, an outreach that helps people understand the emotional pain and spiritual confusion that results when a loved one suffers from gender identity confusion. I recently had a chance to sit down and talk with Denise about her own experience with her father. When you were a young girl, just, what, 8 or 9 years old, your dad came in and made a big announcement. What did your dad say?
Yeah. When I was 9 years old, my dad, I was in the kitchen actually doing dishes, and he had asked for me to come out and sit with him, said that he had something to say. And, you know, I just did whatever my dad asked, first of all. There wasn't a lot of love in the family, and it was just you did what dad or mom said. Mm-hmm. But he had taken me outside and sat down next to me, and, you know, he was on my left side, and he just had said to me his desire to become a woman and how he had struggled with this from the time that he was a little boy and continued to tell me other sordid secrets, you know, that he had kept between himself and in some instances with my mother. So as a 9-year-old girl, in my mind, I'm just thinking, why is he telling this to me? I didn't understand.
And so you've hinted at it, your relationship as a daughter. What did your relationship with your father end up looking like?
When he had finished that one-sided discussion with me, I personally thought, well, just put it on a shelf. You know, he told me this, so you go on living. But what I didn't realize is how it would continue to impact my life. For instance, by the time I was 11 years old, I started to mature young. And so 11, 12 years old, noticing some jealousy from my father, enviness, and just the stare that he would give me, the behaviors that were demonstrated in the home. And I just wanted to run away. You know, I thought, I don't have a dad, and now I'm starting to feel really uncomfortable, and I started to notice that my dad was wearing my clothing. If I had makeup in the house, the makeup would disappear. So at that point, I knew there weren't any boundaries that were safe with my dad. That is just something that I don't think most people understand unless they really go through the situation, because my dad was still alive. But yet I was grieving this process that he didn't want to be my dad, that he wanted to be this woman. And so therefore you're almost saying goodbye to the person that you know while they're still living. Right. There's no closure in it.
They say in grieving you go through stages, and one of the stages is denial. Were you sort of in denial a little bit yourself when all this was first sprung on you? Is that what you meant by putting it on a shelf? You couldn't deal with it, so you just had to push it down deep? And
yeah, it probably was like that. It was like I knew it was real, because when my father was sitting right next to me and sharing what he did, I understood that it was reality, but I didn't know how to deal with it, how to process this.
Did his choice have any impact on, you know, you doing a self-examination yourself about how you viewed your own sexuality?
I did. Yes, as a preteen, I started to then think, well, what happens if God really did make a mistake with Dad? What does that mean for me? And so at that point, you know, I thought, am I really supposed to have been a man? And we know our imagination can be powerful, and indeed it was. I would go in my bedroom numerous days, evenings, and play in my mind what I would look like as a man, how my mannerisms would be, and what that would mean as far as a future with a spouse. So at that point, I pictured myself with a man with a beard, mustache, you know, the suit, the mannerisms and everything, and kissing a girl. And so the conflict, you know, within my soul.
At that time, making that kind of a transition was certainly not considered normal. These days, gender advocates are trying to normalize this gender identity choice, aren't they? This is something perhaps everybody should consider and decide for themselves what their gender is as opposed to their biological sex.
The world can tell us to look at our gender and that we decide who we're going to be, but in a sense I see that as rebellion towards our Creator. God is the designer of who we are. It doesn't mean that we have to like it or that we may understand it if we have childhood wounds, as my dad did. Not all that identify as being transgender have that story. But there's other underlining things. And the truth is that our biology is the truth. You know, if my father had died and nobody knew his identity, if they did the DNA test, it would show that he was a man. So cosmetically, he looked like a woman. But internally, he was still a man.
The culture argues, and the homosexual movement has always argued, that this is how I was made. Your dad probably said, as a boy, I realized who I was and how I was made. And that implies that you can't change. Has that been your experience in dealing with people? Can you change your sexual orientation from the kind of outer boundaries of flight from God back to his design?
You most certainly can. You know, after 13 years of being in this type of ministry to individuals and families of transgenders, it has been probably the amazing part is to hear the stories of restoration in the lives that God has reached into and where they have been receptive to that call from the Lord, that small, still voice. There are people all around, but we don't hear about it. And so I think that, unfortunately, makes the mindset of the world that if somebody identifies as being a male or female when that's not their true identity, that that's who they are and that we have to accept it because it's too dangerous if we don't. But it's more dangerous in being part of that deceptive role.
As you have just seen, gender confusion can bring long-lasting pain and sorrow to many others. And yet those who approach this issue with clear and truthful language are now branded as hateful bigots who deserve to be silenced. How did we get to the point where something as obvious as the difference between male and female could become so distorted? This is nothing less than a loss of the foundational concept of truth, as Dr. Kennedy clarifies in this portion of his message, "Who Stole the Truth?"
Who stole the truth? Or perhaps you are one that had not noticed that it was gone. There are many parents who have begun to get some sort of inkling that something is amiss. Their children go off to high school or college, and they come back and there's something different about them. When you try to carry on a conversation, something is different. There don't seem to be any values anymore, and absolutes are smiled at, and the realities of the spiritual world and of God are considered somehow to have become irrelevant to life. And though they know that something is wrong, They don't quite know what has happened. How was this brought about and by whom? This is part of this great silent revolution that has been taking place in the Western world for the last 40 years by the humanists in America and in the West. And I suppose that if any single person could be credited with this, it would be the influential John Dewey. And it was done by a very clever expedient, one that was so subtle and so clever that the average person never even knew it had happened to them. It was simply done by the redefinition of truth and fact. And to show you how successful they have been, let me ask you, what is a fact? Ultimately, all truth and all knowledge and all belief rests upon facts. So therefore, if we can change the meaning of fact, we can change the meaning of everything. And they have done precisely that. I would like to ask you, what is a fact? Can you define it? A fact, quote, a statement that can be verified is a fact, unquote. If you believe that, you are a victim of brainwashing. That is not what a fact is at all. And yet I am sure that there are vast millions of people in our culture today who would swallow that like a sugar-coated pill and not realize that the whole superstructure of knowledge, truth, and reality hinges upon that. Well, does it really make any difference? If truth is only that which can be verified and only that which is based upon facts, and facts are only those things which can be verified by scientific investigation, and nothing else is true, then what about God? God is a spirit, eternal and unchangeable. He is not matter to be placed on a slide under a microscope or boiled in a test tube or beaker. He is not subject to the verification processes of science. Ergo, conclusion, God is not a fact. God is not true. God is not real. And God is irrelevant to life. And that is precisely the conclusion of secular humanism today. And that same thing holds true for eternal life, for the eternal salvation of man, of heaven and hell, Jesus Christ, and all of the other things that we hold true, including the moral absolutes. If there is no absolute truth, then there are no absolute morals, nor absolute values. Yet we know that far above man's poor, pitiful search for truth, there has been God's revelation of absolute truth. Truth is conformity with reality, and God is the greatest reality in the universe. Truth is harmony with facts. Ah, my friends, the day is far spent, the hour is late, the time has come that Americans need to wake up to what is being done to our children, to the perversion of truth and facts and values and meaning and reality by which their minds are being warped from the very earliest ages. And this entire bucket of worms needs to be thrown out of the life of this country. They need to know the truth of Jesus Christ, which alone can set them free. Free from the ignorance that says that truth is not true if the myopic can see it poorly or if the blind can't see it at all. Set them free from the bondage of their sins, which keeps them from even seeking the truth. Set them free from the darkness of moral blindness through which so many are staggering today. And set them free from the fear and terror of death and the grave. Set them free to eternal life when they come to know Christ by faith, who is the truth. And then the Spirit of God will make them know that this is eternal life, to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May it be.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, truth is merely conformity with reality. The deepest problem with the transgender movement is that it does not conform with the reality of God's creation. Instead, it denies God's design and substitutes the changeful whims of human beings. How does it do this? Where does this come from? And what is the truth about gender? Our own John Rabe has more on these important questions.
Non-binary is when a person chooses to identify as neither male nor female, usually taking on different pronouns like ji, zher, zhim, or zi, zer, zim. Gender fluid can also fit into the spectrum of gender identities. A person who is gender fluid changes their gender identity that best fits with how they're feeling, changing from male to female.
A post-Christian culture in many ways becomes a post-reality culture. I mean, we're denying basics of reality. Even now, some basics of reality that are observable, you know, things like gender. I mean, that's right. An observable fact right. In biology and to the human eye, and yet these are things that we are denying.
Transgender people are people whose identity don't match the one that they were assigned at birth, and they may or may not have surgery to get their body in line with their identity.
But the gender box is getting even bigger.
Dr. Julie Hamilton is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We live in a culture that emphasizes perceptions, sometimes even more so than reality. And I think that's probably been the postmodern influence. With postmodernism, you have this idea that there is no reality, it's all just perceptions. But really, God defines us, and I think that it's just an unfortunate place that we've arrived in our culture.
Gender fluid and gender queer people identify as two or more genders
and may move between masculine and feminine presentations.
All these words can be dizzying, and we're just scratching the surface.
This notion of gender fluidity, which originated not in the sciences but in postmodern university English departments, has gained steam in the culture quite quickly and is already being backed by courts and enforced in schools, universities, and even government. In Canada, a new law allows the government to take children away if parents don't accept their chosen gender identity. In the U.S., some pediatricians are prescribing puberty blockers, hormones, and even surgery for gender-confused children. Is this really in the best interests of the children?
The baby is born with no conception of gender. The baby is just a baby. This gender is a psychological conception that develops later, during the first decade of life.
Dr. Felipe Vizcarando is a member of the American College of Pediatricians. He notes that it's common for young children to be unsure of their sex and gender roles.
There are some medical professionals in pediatrics and in psychology and psychiatry that intervene at this time when the children are showing this confusion. Well, what they do is they validate the confusion. So the boy that feels that he's a girl, this confusion is validated and is reinforced instead of showing the discrepancy between the biological sex of the child and the perceived sex of the child. The earlier that the gender confusion is treated with chemicals and surgery, the earlier that you are that these children are being forced to go into this lifestyle that is medically unsafe and dangerous. As a pediatrician, this is against the best interest of the child and against the child's health, because as we are doing this, the child is being ushered into a life that is unhealthy. And, you know, as the child grows and develops into an adolescent and then into an adult, it will be forced to continue with this lifestyle and will not be able to go back to the original biological sex.
Serious and irreversible damage to children can result from adopting faulty ideas. Ultimately, America's gender confusion is not about science and reality at all. It's about worldview.
A secular society assumes that the world is one of our own making that we invite God into. The Christian worldview begins with a very fundamental premise. We live in God's world, He doesn't live in ours. And those are two completely different worldviews. They're fundamental assumptions of two completely different worldviews, because that changes things like morality, it changes things like authority. And when you can get to the bottom of where these ideas come from, then I think it gives us an insight into why people believe what they do and why they say what they do.
As you have just seen, the transgender movement is directly at odds with the facts of biology and the world that God created. And yet many of our courts seem to have lost their collective minds, issuing orders that require women's bathrooms and locker rooms to be open to men who say they identify as a woman. And men are even being allowed to compete in women's sports, amazingly under rules that were meant to protect women from discrimination. Meanwhile, your daughters and granddaughters are put in danger as the government opens the door for boys to shower beside them in the school locker room. It is time for us to do something about this insanity. Here's my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. We've put together a petition to the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, calling upon her to take a stand in defense of our children. It asks her to protect them against the special provisions being made in the name of the transgender movement. Some children, as young as 4 years old, are being raised by their parents as members of the opposite sex. And doctors are discussing lowering the age at which children can start receiving opposite sex hormone treatments. This movement is a grave threat to children. Imagine a court ordering a full-grown man to be allowed to use the public bathroom next to your daughter or granddaughter. It's already happening in some places in America. The time has come for us to say no more. Contact us immediately to get your petition to the Secretary of Education, sign it, and return it to us as quickly as possible so that we can make our voices heard as one on this issue. To get your petition, simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677 or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to include a generous donation for the ongoing work of this ministry, we'll send you a 5-pack of the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet called What Does the Bible Teach About Gender Identity? The gender issue can be confusing because of all the emotion and high-sounding rhetoric surrounding it. But this book helps cut through the noise and shows that the transgender movement is all based on falsehoods. You'll want to share it with your children and grandchildren, your pastor, and your small group Bible study. Contact us right away for your petition, calling upon the Secretary of Education to protect our children. And consider giving a generous donation so that we can send you, as our thanks, the new Truth in Action Q&A booklet, What Does the Bible Teach About Gender Identity? Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
As the transgender movement gains ascendancy, ordinary people are being put in an extraordinarily odd position. We can play along and receive the applause of the elite culture, or we can believe what our own eyes and what the Word of God tell us. Recently in Connecticut, a boy who says he identifies as a girl was allowed to compete as a girl in the state sprinting finals. Not surprisingly, he handily defeated all his female opponents. And the International Olympic Committee now has guidelines allowing biological males to compete as females and vice versa. You don't have to wake up Einstein to know where that's going. But as Christians, while the world pretends ignorance, we must remain clear on the law and design of God. The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy makes it plain. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. And the New Testament maintains that distinction between men and women. Friends, we are now standing at a place in our culture that the late Dr. Francis Schaeffer called the antithesis. From the moment of Adam and Eve's fall into sin until now, there has been an unbridgeable divide between good and evil, between right and wrong, between the seed of the serpent and Christ. There is a very clear choice to be made on this issue, and if we are honest, that choice is brutally obvious. Men are not women. Women are not men. And no matter how many magazine covers and fawning profiles are dedicated to Caitlyn Jenner and his fellow travelers, this reality cannot be denied. We all know this. So, will we all stand for what we know, for the design God has made evident to all of us? Or will we step into the cultural deluge and be swept along in one more rebellion against God? With God's strength, let's stand together for truth and for light in an increasingly dark world. I invite you to check out our ministry mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. You can watch all of our programs as well as access daily devotionals, Bible versions, and evangelism training materials. And it's all free. Just go to the App Store for your mobile device and search for D. James Kennedy Ministries. We are standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The battle of the bathrooms is just, it's honestly common sense that there shouldn't be a man in the bathroom with me.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.